Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
I want to welcome those who are watching online this morning. We're glad that you're with us. It's a lot better to be here in person, and it's like going to a ball game. You can watch it on TV, but boy, when you're there, it's a lot more fun. So we invite you, when you're in the area, please come in and join us. You'll meet the greatest people on the face of the planet right here. And I want to say a special good morning, hello, to Tammy Lambert, who's watching. Tammy, we miss you, we love you, and we want you to come back here and be with us. So we're glad you're at least watching this morning. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning about abundance. Everybody say abundance. Jesus said, I've came to give you an abundant life. The life of God, that you have plenty of everything you need to fulfill your assignment while you're here on this earth. You will lack nothing. I'm not talking about all the money in the bank. I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about what you need to carry out your assignment. You have abundance of grace upon you. You lack nothing. Even though at times it may look like you lack, you don't lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't lack to do what God's called me to do. This is part four of the series of abundance that we've been in. This morning I want you to learn two key words. Everything that God does, everything that God does, he does through the vehicle of these two words. Romans 4:16, the scripture says the promise, we could say the promises of God, come through faith so that it might be by grace. Everything God does in our life has to come through our faith and his grace. We don't earn it. We don't work it up. We don't merit. Everything God does is by faith through grace. So I'd like you to say those key words, faith and grace. Everything from God in your life has been by faith through grace. Everything. I'd like to read you a little bit of the context of that particular scripture. It's not going to be on the screen, but God was talking through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, he's speaking about Abraham, whom he's called the father of the faith because he's the first one that God led on this journey of faith, the kind of faith that we now live. And so we look at he's the pioneer of living by faith, living by trusting in God. Let me just read to you a little of that Romans chapter 4. The promise comes through faith so that it might be by grace. And it's skipping down, it says, and those who are of the faith of Abraham, if you're born again, you're of the faith of Abraham. The same faith that Abraham had to believe God's promises is the exact same faith that you have if you've been born from above, if you're born with the Spirit of God. So those who are of the faith of Abraham, that would be us. And then God said, I said to Abraham, God said, I made you a father. Remember, Abram's name was Abram before it was Abraham. God changed it. And Abram means exalted father, and Abram didn't have any children. And God came to a man who was incapable of having children with his wife and said, I'm going to make you Abraham. And by the addition or changing of his word, God was saying, I've changed your name to not just an exalted father, but a father of a multitude. In other words, not just one child, but many children. And in a spiritual respect, we are of the seed or of the faith of Abraham. We could be called children of Abraham, not as Jewish people, but of the same faith. Are you understanding? And so God says to him, who Abraham, who believed God and who raises from the dead. And then he says, and God calls things that are not, that do not exist, as though they did. He calls things that are not as though they are. And against all hope, Abraham believed in hope. And it goes on to say that Abraham didn't even consider his own body to be dead, because he's about 100 years old, and he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, the words "it was credited to him" were not written for his sake only, but also for us. Yes. If we believe. I want to talk to you today about abundance, but especially faith to receive the grace of God. Let's define grace. You've heard many different definitions. However, that word, there are no adequate words to adequately describe what grace is. Grace, unmerited favor, yes, but it's more than that. God's riches at Christ's expense, yes, I like that acrostic, yes. God working through Jesus, yes. You could say grace is a person. Yes. Grace is Jesus. Amen. The Bible says Jesus, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God has a throne of grace. He wants to be known as the God of all grace. And so grace must be defined. You understand what I'm talking about is it is a work of God. It's not anything you can do. It's not you and God working. It is just God's work alone. Amen. Without anything from you. That's grace. Okay. Now let's look at faith. Faith is a little bit easier to describe. When we look at faith, if you've been born again, you have faith. Yes. You've received grace through faith. You receive Jesus through faith. You receive salvation through faith. And anything else you receive from God, healing, deliverance, whatever it may be, comes the exact same way. There's no different formula. Everything from God comes through faith so that it might be by grace. No one's going to stand before God and boast and say, look at what I achieved. No, it's by grace. It's not anything of you. And so faith is, I like the acrostic, forsaking all, I trust him. This is a genuine faith. A faith that believes and responds to what God has said. Whether it's trusting, whether it's waiting, but faith is a trust in God no matter what the circumstances look like. And even if the circumstances in the physical realm are not changing, faith trusts God. Amen. This is the faith that Abraham had. And if you're born again, it's the exact same faith you have. You just got to use it. If you're not born again, God gives you the faith so that you can be saved if you'll take that faith and exercise it in God's grace. You can be saved. Anybody can be saved if they'll take the faith that God has given them. You say, I don't have any faith. Oh, yes, you do. God says in Romans 12:3, every man has been given a measure of faith. God has given you enough faith to be saved if you want to be saved. Adolf Hitler could be saved if he wanted to be saved. Anybody can be saved because God has given every man a measure of faith. So we're talking about two very, very important things here. Now, I need to go over some scriptures with you. James chapter 2, verse 19. Some people say, well, I believe in God. That's not the same thing as faith. James 2:19, the Word of God says, well, you believe in God, well, that's good, but I want you to know the demons in hell also believe and tremble. They're not saved. So believing in God is not the same thing as faith. Believing in God is not the same thing as faith. That may shake you up, and maybe you need to be shaken up. Now, and we go on to another scripture. I want to break down a little bit, maybe with some understanding now that we've defined faith and grace. Romans 4:16, it says the promise of God, or we could say the promises of God, come through faith, which is trusting God. Amen. Not just believing in God, but trusting God. What God said, I believe. What God said is true. What God said is real, and He cannot lie. So the promise, whatever the promise of God is to you, comes through trusting God, so that it might be by Jesus. I'm replacing the words faith and grace there with simpler words to help you understand. Now let's take that same understanding. Grace is Jesus, the work of God, and faith is trusting God. And now look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, "For by Jesus you have been saved through trusting God," trusting Him. "This is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's the gift, so that no one can boast. Now let me make a very important statement. Grace alone will not save you. And faith alone will not save you. If grace alone would save you, everybody would be saved. Everybody potentially can be saved, because when Jesus died for the sins of man, He died for the sins of the whole world. 1 John says He's the propitiation, the full payment of our sin. And He said, He's talking to believers, "and not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world." But not everybody is saved. Not everybody's going to heaven, even though Jesus paid the price of all the sin of all the world of all time. It's fully paid. But not everybody is saved. There's grace for everybody, but not everybody's going to receive grace, because they simply won't exercise the faith of trusting God for it. Grace alone will not save you. Faith alone will not save you. When you get born again of the Spirit, that's called salvation. I have been saved. And that's a biblical term. Saved from what? Saved from the punishment or the penalty of my sins. Saved from the penalty of sin. I don't have to pay the penalty. I may have to pay some earthly consequences if I rob a bank, but I'm saved from the penalty, and I'm not going to hell because I've trusted in Jesus alone for my salvation. When He died on the cross, He said, "It's finished," or "paid in full." I believe that. I trust that, and I have now Jesus living on the inside of me through the Holy Spirit. And when you get saved, that's a one-time experience, one-time birth. Just like you're born physically one time. You know, you're born physically, come out of your mother's womb, you get up and you start making a lot of mistakes in life, and you go through, and you say, "You know, I need to go back in my mother's womb and start all over again." No, you're only born physically once. And you are only born in the Spirit once. So that means you have to have two births to go to heaven. A physical birth, you have to be a human, but you have to be born again by the Spirit of God. So the old saying is true, if you're only born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically, and then you're going to step into hell, which is eternal death. But if you're born twice, born of the flesh, born of the Spirit of God, you only die once. That is, your physical body will slump over here, but you'll eternally be with Jesus in heaven. And it won't be anything you did. It won't be, look what I accomplished. It was the gift of God. It all happened by faith through grace. It happened by faith so that it could be by grace, by Jesus alone, and not anything that any of us could ever come up with. Look at me, how good I am. I lived a good life. You ask most people today, you know, they say, let me ask you a question. Do you think you're going to go to heaven if you die? Well, they say, I don't believe in heaven. Well, let's just suppose there is. Would you go to heaven if there was a heaven, if you believed in a heaven? Oh, yeah, I think I would. Why? Because I'm a good person.
Yep, that's your
experience. Oh. So the one you're trusting in is yourself and your good work. You obviously don't understand grace. See, and that's the average person in today's world because they haven't heard the gospel. There are actually, I know we say there's only one way to salvation, but there are actually two. I'm surprised someone didn't rise up and say, blasphemy, how dare you, you heretic, burn him at the stake. There's two ways of salvation. The first one is works. In other words, if you can keep all the commandments perfectly and have never broken, I'm telling you the truth. You're laughing because you already know your record and my record. But if it were possible, there was a human being here that kept all the never from birth, never told a lie, never stole, never thought a bad thought, never did. It's you could be saved by works. There's only one who ever did that. Now see, James 2:10 says this: if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. It's like if you held up the Ten Commandments or all the commandments of God, and here they're like a chain. And okay, well, I didn't break number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. Yep, I broke that one. Well, if you broke one and you're hanging down here at the bottom and you broke that chain, you broke them all. So if you want to go salvation that route, you first need to check your record. If it's not perfect, that's not possible. Amen. Second way is faith in the grace that God's already provided. That's Jesus. You can go to heaven. Anybody who wants to be saved and wants to go to heaven can, if they'll take God's way. Now, a good diagnostic question, if you're sharing the gospel or sharing your testimony with somebody and you're talking to somebody and you discern that, you know, I don't think they're saved. I can tell by my conversation they think that being a good person is going to get them to heaven, or, you know, they're comparing themselves, well, at least I'm better than this person, this and that. And if you get the impression or the discernment that in their mind they believe that they are working their way to heaven by trying to do good deeds and give money and do all kinds of stuff, whatever, then a good diagnostic question is this. Ask them this question. If you were standing before God right now and he should say to you, why should I let you come into my heaven? What would your answer be? They will give you either a works answer or a grace answer. And that's for you to diagnose where they are. If they give you a works answer, it will be something like this. The first words coming out of their mouth are very important. They'll say, oh yeah, I was baptized. I'm a good person. Oh, I don't go to church, but I'm a good person. Or I belong to a church. I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor.
Come on. That's right.
I serve in the church. I work in the food pantry. I do. And the only person they're referring to is themselves.
Yes.
See, they don't know the gospel. They may have heard it, but they don't know it. They're trying to work their way to heaven. They're lost. The Spirit of God does not live in them. And the grace answer is, I've received Jesus as my Savior. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It was not in me. I received the gift of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believed and I received. Are you understanding? It's so important. So important. Jesus went to a religious leader, a rabbi, Nicodemus, and talked to him about this. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you got to understand, what's born of the flesh is the flesh. What's born of the Spirit is the Spirit. They're not commingled there. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. I know it's a mystery.
Yes.
I know you're trying to wrap it around your brain and understand. I can't go back in my mother's womb, can I? I understand your question, but it's like this. What's of the flesh is the flesh. What's of the Spirit is the Spirit. The Spirit is like the wind. The wind blows. You don't know where it came from or where it's going. It could change at any moment. And so it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. There's mystery involved. Why? And it's going to take faith in something you can't see necessarily or feel or touch or taste or grab hold of. So Jesus is trying to teach Nicodemus, as well as the Lord's trying to teach some of you here today, this very important principle, so you'll quit striving. You'll quit working your way to heaven, because you're never going to get there. And if you don't have a revelation of this today, I'm convinced you'll be lost. Faith is the only way we come to God. Faith is the only way we come to God. God made it that way. People say, boy, I wish I could have been back in the time of Jesus and seen him like one of his disciples. Then I would have really had strong faith. No, it took greater faith for those disciples to believe that Jesus was the Son of God than it does for us. Because they looked at him and he didn't look like a leader. He didn't have a halo on his head. There are times his body stunk because he needed to take a bath. He had to eat. He was asleep in the back of the boat when the boat was sinking. And there were times they were going, is this the Son of God, God the Son, or not? I don't know. He looks like a human to me. He's weak like me. He has to sleep like me. He has to eat like me. I don't understand. How can this man be God in the flesh? See, it wasn't easy. Not easier. The same faith they had to exercise in the physical Son of God is the same faith you have to exercise in the invisible Son of God. No different. Hebrews 11:6, God says the only thing that pleases him is faith. You want to please God? If there's no faith involved in your pleasing God, then you're not pleasing him. Without faith, it's impossible. Yeah. Everybody say, impossible.
Impossible.
To please God.
Please God.
I don't care what you do. I'm giving $1 million to the building fund. Well, praise God. Did God tell you to do that? Nope, I'm doing it to please God. And you're not doing it in faith. Keep it.
That's right.
Pastor, I can't believe you just told somebody to keep $1 million check. If there's no faith in it, it doesn't please God. I'm giving my body to be persecuted. I'm going to be a martyr. Did God tell you to do that? No, but I'm going to please God. See, Muslims believe if they die in battle, they instantly go to paradise with 1,000 virgins or whatever. Because they've done something noble. They earned.
That's right.
Every religion on the earth besides Christianity is one in which you've got to do something. You have to earn. You have to please the God you say you believe exists. You've got to do whatever it is He wants you to do. Then you please Him. But God says the only way you can ever please Me is through faith. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
It's impossible to please God without faith. Notice the words in Hebrews 11:6. For he that cometh to God, you want to come to God? He must believe that He exists. I don't see Him. If I could only touch Him, if He just manifests to me, I'd believe. No. You don't dictate to God what to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God, if you're going to come to God, you're going to have to come through the vehicle of faith that He gave you. You've got to use the faith that He gave you to believe you're coming to God. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He blesses faith. He's a rich rewarder of faith. Not just believing like demons, but faith that believes what God has spoken, what He says. So we're getting into a deep, deep subject here. A lot of people come to church, and right now in this room, probably many people are saying, well, I know you give those altar calls for to receive healing or to receive salvation or baptism of the Holy Spirit or get rid of demonic torment. I know, and I see people go up there, but I'm not going up there because I know if God wants to minister to me, He knows where I am. Yeah, He knows where you are. You don't know where you are. I don't have to go up front to be ministered to. Jesus can reach me right where He knows where I am. I'm praying today. Oh God, I'd like the Spirit to come over here and move upon me where I'm sitting right now. I'd like the Spirit just to come and do it right now where I'm at, so I don't even have to get up and go up there. Oh, okay. You just don't realize how arrogant that looks to God. Not that you have to come here or do this or that. I understand. But a lot of people are like that, and they think they're exercising faith. Well, God, You know right where I'm at, and I know You can come minister to me right now. Yes, He can. And He may. That's up to Him. But if there's no faith in that statement, it doesn't please God. It has to have faith in it. Faith is believing that God has impressed upon you, spoken to you, showed you something, and then you are giving a positive reaction to that. You're responding to what God has spoken to you in your heart. And there may be times that you're to stay right where you are. Maybe God says, stay right here. That's fine. You've heard in your heart. Now you're in faith. You see what I'm saying? But most of the time, faith requires a positive response to what God has said. In some way, you will have some kind of corresponding action. Genuine faith, when you hear from God, it will require something of you to respond in faith towards God. the woman with the issue of blood, you know, she was hemorrhaging most of her life and went to all the doctors and couldn't get any better. Mark chapter 5, the story is told. And in her heart, she says, I know if I can just get through the crowd that's in that city where Jesus is at, if I can get through in some way, somehow, if I can just press through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. Who told her that? Well, she's a lady that knew about the Messiah. And she knew that when the Messiah comes, he will do healings that nobody else can do. She'd been to every doctor, spent all of her money. Nobody helped her. She's not any better. But in her heart, she heard God tell her to do something that would scare the daylights out of her. She'd be breaking all the religious ritualistic laws because she was unclean, because she was bleeding. She was not supposed to be in a crowd of people. She was not supposed to touch people. She was not supposed to touch a rabbi, especially, because then he would make them ceremonially unclean. She was not supposed to do that. Yet the Spirit of God whispered to her, if you can just go and touch the hem. Because there was a scripture in Malachi, there's healing in his wings. In other words, the robes, the bottom of his robe. The scriptures and the robes, the tallit and all that. If you can just touch, if you could touch that, you'll be healed. God somehow communicated that to her heart, and she, what did she start doing? She said, nope, I ain't doing it. I'm sitting right here. If God wants to heal me, then he'll have to do it right here. He knows where I'm at. I believe God heals. He knows where I'm at. I don't have to do it. If he wants to heal me, he'll heal me. Yeah. Well, how much faith does that take? But instead, she said, I'm getting dressed. I know what the ritualistic laws say. I know what the Jews are telling me. But I don't care what anybody says anymore. I don't care what they think about me. I don't care if they kick me out of church. I don't care. I am going in. And then there's a crowd of people. How in the world am I going to get through there? I don't know, but I got to say, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. I know I'm making them mad. I know I'm upsetting them. I said, pardon me, excuse me. I have to get through. Let me get through. Please get out of my way. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm coming. I know. Excuse me. Excuse me. I know I'm weird looking. I won't hurt you. I promise. Please don't let me fall. Praise God, help me. Jesus. And she reached through. And she was not trying to be noticed. She wasn't saying, look at me, I got faith. She didn't want anybody. Who touched me? Lord, I don't know if you understand it, but there are 10,000 people around you right now touching me. No. Somebody touched me in a special way, because virtue, power just came out of me to somebody who touched me with faith from God. Somebody just received something from me because they touched me with faith. Somebody is believing God for a miracle, and they touched me in a way that I don't get touched like that very often. Somebody got something from me that they couldn't get from a doctor. Somebody got something from God today that they couldn't get anyplace else, because somebody touched me with faith. Yes. Woman, don't be afraid. Don't be concerned about what these people think. Your faith has made you whole. You're healed. You're healed. And just prior to that, a man whose daughter was dying. She was at the deathbed. He was a leader of the synagogue named Jairus. And prior to that, meeting that lady, he come to Jesus, "Please, Lord, this may be my only opportunity to meet you with this crowd of people here. My daughter's dying. They can't do anything for her. They said she's going to die within 24 hours or less. Please, come to my house and touch her like you've touched other people before. Come heal her like I've seen you heal. Please, Lord, would you please come with me?" He says, "Sure, I'll come with you. Sure, I'll come with you." And they started on their way. And that's when that woman interrupted and reached in. And Jesus stopped. And all that time, Jairus is saying, "Forget her. My daughter, my daughter's dying. We got to hurry and get there before she dies." And after the woman was healed, Jesus goes with Jairus, "Let's go to your house." And just then a messenger comes. "Rabbi, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter has died. It's too late. We did all we could do. It's too late. I'm sorry." His heart outbreaks. And Jesus looked at him sternly and said, "Jairus, look at me. Focus on me. I'm saying, fear not. Only believe." Fear. Resist that fear. Resist. Fear not. Only believe. And she did die.
Yes,
and Jesus raised her up from the dead. Because one man didn't understand how this is going to work, but he believed God with a corresponding action. Faith, corresponding action. Trust God, even when you've heard the worst news and it makes no sense. You don't understand it. You don't understand faith. You don't comprehend faith. You simply trust God, believe God, and start moving to what He said for you to believe and trust Him for. And then there's one more I got to tell you. There was this guy. I love this story. He's blind. Name's Bartimaeus. He'd been blind all of his life, I think. Here's a crowd of people. What's that crowd? What's going on? Is it one of the presidential political candidates coming to speak? Is it a movie star? What are they all excited about? Oh, old man, it's Jesus of Nazareth is coming here. Jesus? Jesus? Jesus! 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 Help me up, boy. Jesus! Jesus over here! Jesus! Jesus! Would you shut up? Shh! Quit, you're making a fool of yourself. Jesus! 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 Shut up. Quit yelling. If God wants to heal you, you'll be healed. That's what the churches tell you. That's what the religious people tell you. Maybe He sent this sickness and disease on you to teach you a lesson. So sit down and shut up. Jesus! 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 And Jesus said, I heard you the first time, Bartimaeus. Don't worry, son. What do you want me to do for you?
I want to see, Lord. I want to see like other people. Be healed. Your faith has made you whole.
I got it.
What made you whole? So the grace was already there. All that was needed was this man to get his faith.
Hallelujah.
To touch the grace and be healed.
Amen. Amen.
So I guess you got something to say.
I do. I was going to give it to you.
Okay. Go right ahead, honey.
The part that is really the most important part to me in that story is he had a beggar's robe on. Mm. He had a beggar's robe on because that's what they did. They had to sit. Ah. He had no way of making income to help himself, so he had a beggar's robe on. So when he got up and he heard Jesus say, "Come to me," it says he took off his robe. Mm. That's the wrong word. He flung it off, meaning he will never go back to that beggar's robe again.
Woo.
So he knew when he heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come to me," he knew that was it. He would never put back on that beggar's robe.
That was his faith.
He flung it off. So when you read it, you know, and you see he took it off. No. If you will read further and look up the word in the Greek, it was he flung that thing far away from him. He knew that was not his to ever have again.
When you pray,
when you believe Jesus is going to do what you're asking for, and you have that faith, I want you to fling off unbelief that way. I consider that robe as unbelief. He flung off that robe of bondage that took him down all the time. He couldn't do anything that he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. He couldn't do what he needed to do. But you have a robe on of bondage as well, of some kind. Now, I want today to be the day that robe gets flung off of you. You don't just pull it off and just start. No. Because you could easily pick that baby back up and go on your way again.
Yep.
So don't do that. That, to me, is the most powerful part of that whole story, is that he flung it off because he knew he would see forever and never be blind again. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to do that today with whatever you're carrying, whatever robe you're wearing. Do it today. Fling that thing off.
Amen. Thank you, honey. I forgot about that. That's true. That was his identity. He flung that identity off of him. I'm not a beggar anymore. I'm a healed man. Praise God. Faith receives what God has already given. Faith receives what God has already given. True faith just simply responding to what God's already done. Salvation by faith through grace. The grace is already provided. Healing by faith through the grace it's already provided. Answers to prayer by faith through grace. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm not a psychic, but I know human thinking because I are one. And you'll say, "But I prayed and nothing happened. I asked God for healing and it didn't happen. I asked for God for something he promised in his word and it hasn't happened." Okay. This is a crucial point right here. This is when you got to do what Scripture tells us to do, and this is going to be a revelation to some of you. Psalm 27, verse 4. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So maybe that's where some of you are right now. You say, "I prayed about something and it hadn't happened." Well, one of the reasons it hadn't happened is because you keep saying it ain't happened. You're negating your faith. Abraham was told by God 25 years before it happened, you're going to have a son from a biological son, not an Ishmael. You're going to have a son from Sarah, even though her womb is dead and your body is about 100 years old. You're nearly dead. And it didn't happen first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year. Didn't manifest in the flesh. But God said he's already done it. Abraham had to change his way of thinking. And then he had to change his words to agree with God. That's why God changed his name to Abraham. You're the father of a multitude. So every time Sarah would call him Abraham, it was saying, you're the father of a multitude. They had to change their way of thinking by changing the way of their talking. You primarily change the way you're thinking by changing your words to say what God is saying. And Abraham in Romans 4, he had to learn to call things that are not as though they were. Faith has to learn to call things, speak them out, even though they're not right now in the physical that I can see, but as though they were. I say I am healed, even though right now in my flesh I don't see any change yet. I have to walk this thing out. I have to wait on the Lord. What is waiting on the Lord? Am I waiting on the Lord? Yes or no? How many of you say yes? How many are too scared to raise your hand? God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. How many of you say I'm waiting on the Lord? Raise your hand. How many of you say I'm not waiting on the Lord? Raise your hand. Oh, you naysayers, gotcha. You don't know if I'm waiting on the Lord or not. You can't tell. I haven't told you anything. I may be, but I may not be. You can't tell. The word wait on the Lord in the Old Testament literally means to bind together. To bind together. If you go out to a restaurant today to eat, you're going to have a waiter come to your table. Hi, I'm Gary. I'm your server today. Hope I can make this a pleasant experience for you. Now, can I take your drink order? Okay. All right, I'll bring you drinks and I'll come back a little bit and we'll get what you want for lunch. Okay. He's going to wait on you. And a good waiter will notice when your glass is about half full, he'll come back over there and fill it back up. He'll notice wait a minute, you need a napkin. Oh, I got you a napkin. He waits on you. When we wait on the Lord, we're not passive. I wish God hurry up, like waiting in a doctor's office. No, we're ministering to the Lord. When we wait upon the Lord, we're ministering to the Lord. I thank you, God. I worship you. I praise you. I thank you that by your stripes I was healed and I am healed. I'm walking this thing out. Oh, I still got that same pain in my body right now, but I call things that are not as though they were. I declare that hip is healed. I declare I'm healed. I'm walking by faith. Oh, I praise you. I'm ministering to God. I'm waiting like a waiter, but upon the Lord. I continue to serve. I continue to minister. I do what he tells me to do. Witness to that person. Give that person some money. Do this, do that. I'm waiting on God. I'm not sitting around like this. And that's where a lot of people give up their faith. Well, I prayed and I went down there 100 times. I even had Pastor Gary pray for me. And nothing happened. Well, you just stepped out of faith. Most healings, in my opinion, are not instantaneous. Yes. They're a process. A process. We want an instant healing. And that does happen. Amen. And some of you have experienced them. That's what I call a miracle. Amen. When it's done. But most of the time, healing is a process. Here's the scripture. believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm in recovery. If you're a believer and you believe and you're believing what God tells you that He's already done, then you believe and you're believing for the healing to manifest in your body. You say, that makes no sense to me, preacher. I understand. I understand totally. But you are not the sick trying to get well. God says you are the healed who's fighting against sickness and disease. See, that's a whole different paradigm shift. You've got to look at it that way. Not the way of the world. You've got to look at it the way God says it. And you've got to call things that are not as though they were. And so until that manifestation manifests like you're believing it's going to manifest, you wait upon the Lord. You minister to God. Get on with your ministry. Don't stop ministering. Amen. To the Lord. My wife was playing a song this morning, and the words grabbed my attention. Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope. As your triumph unfolds, He's never failing. He's never failing. God is faithful. God never lies. You never catch God in a lie. If He said it, He's good for it. He's into waiting. He's into waiting. He's into waiting. Can you wait on the Lord? Bible says if you wait on the Lord, be of good courage, He'll strengthen your heart. How does that work? I don't know. As I minister to Him, He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. You wait for the Lord, or will you walk away and say it doesn't work? I don't believe that anymore. A lot of people do that, and in the dark days coming ahead, some of you may, if you don't take to heart what God is saying to you through this message today. He's trying to prepare you. It won't get easier necessarily. It doesn't matter. Hard or easy, it doesn't matter. Some of you need to take your foot off the brake. You say you're going forward with the Lord, but your foot's on the brake. You say you're believing God, but you got the emergency brake on, your foot on the brake. Take your foot off the brake. Release the emergency brake. Go forward. Amen. In faith. Not understanding, but trusting. And waiting upon the Lord. Ministering to the Lord in the process that you do not understand. Abraham had questions. Most of the why questions God does not answer here on earth. Because even if He told you why, you still wouldn't understand. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Can you receive from God today? I'm asking you. I don't know the answer. I'm asking you, can you receive from a God you can't see, taste, touch, or feel? Can you receive from Him? By exercising the faith that He gave you as a gift and trusting Him. Even if you don't see the manifestation of what you really want to see today, can you wait upon Him? Can you minister to Him? Can you walk away from the altar when you don't see anything change with joy in your heart, with rejoicing, praising God, thanking Him for His word, and start calling things that are not as though they were? Look, at least half of the body of Christ worldwide, they walk out on a message like this. Oh, you're one of those faith people. You better believe it. You're one of those grace people. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm crazy. It's not about me. So today the altar is open for anybody who simply wants to exercise the faith God put in your heart to believe Him for something. With His freedom, you're still going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Okay? You're free. There's no condemnation. You're free, man. Absolutely free. But you're still going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Do you believe you're free? Do you believe there's no condemnation? Well, I still feel shame. I still feel... Well, it ain't coming from God.
That's right.
Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee. You know what you need to tell the devil? Get the hell out of here. I like saying a curse word when you can appropriately use it. I don't know why. It's a little rebellion inside me. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to draw it to you. Never mind. Forget that. Edit that out, would you? Put a... But let's have faith today. By grace. Everything from God's by grace. Through you exercising faith. You can be healed today. You can be delivered today. You can be saved today. I don't know what your need is, but you came here with a need. And you need to present it to God with the faith that He gave you and believe Him. Walk away believing and trusting Him for whatever that is and whenever it is to manifest. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you for being so attentive. You're so gracious to me, even with my foolishness sometimes. I appreciate you putting up with me. And now, altar workers, come up here and join with me. We want to pray with people. That's what we do. We're here to minister. If you are not born again, you need to be born again, then that's what you need to come up here for and say, you know, I don't think but till today I've ever exercised genuine faith in salvation. Then come, be saved today. It's already done. All you have to do is by faith receive it, and we'll help you. So turn your receiver on and hear God. And then faith always has some kind of corresponding action. You always are to step out and do the thing that God's told you to do. Would you bow your head in prayer? Now, Father, I pray for these wonderful people today that now someone will be saved today. Someone would receive healing today. Someone will walk in victory today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And before I quit, I should have said early, men's breakfast tomorrow at 8 a.m. Bob Evans on 466. Everybody's invited. Come, all the men are invited. Yeah, we'll see you there. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.